Translation in purple by His Divine Grace Srila H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Amoga. He says, therefore, Amoga, get up and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. Purple, it's quite a long purple, so we'll see. Maybe we'll do this in sections. Purple, the absolute truth is realized in three phases. Impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. All of these are one and the same truth, but Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan constitute three different features. Whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahmana. And when a Brahmana engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is called a Vaishnava. Unless one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his realization of impersonal Brahman is imperfect. A Brahmana can chant the Hare Krishna mantra on the platform of Namabhas, but not on the platform of pure vibration. It's interesting. When a Brahmana engages in the Lord's service, fully understanding his eternal relationship, his devotional service is called Abhideya. Okay, we'll say some prayers and then we'll speak, we'll do read part of the purple, speak something to it, then go on from there. Because there's quite a lot to unpack here. Om Agyanata Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we request the blessings of all the devotees so we can speak something on this very wonderful Chaitanya Charitamrita and this pastime of Amoga criticizing Lord Chaitanya and then also getting some reaction for that. So, Lord Chaitanya is Bhaktavatar. So it's one thing to understand something theoretically, it's another thing to understand it in an embodied way. So here, Lord Chaitanya is Guru. We hear this word, Guru means one who is heavy with knowledge. Often people think that means that they've read lots of books. That information can be there. But heavy with knowledge means it weighs on your character, actually. Right? So heavy with knowledge means that whatever you're speaking, you live it, you've embodied it. It becomes part of the character. So the preaching is actually the sadhachar. So Lord Chaitanya, as Bhaktavatar, as he's come in the form of a devotee, he's teaching us by example. Amoga Leela has criticized him. Sava Bhauma and his wife, they're so unhappy. They're so unhappy. But Lord Chaitanya, he actually says in previous verses, he said he didn't say anything wrong. In fact, he said that what he said, the criticism he made of me is correct. You know, like that. So the first thing is we should understand as devotees, criticism is part for the course, right? So it happens. When we practice Krishna consciousness with false assumption, wrong assumption, it can derail people. I've personally seen this. I've seen so many individuals on the path of bhakti become derailed. And a lot of it was to do with the wrong expectation. So our expectations are set by this. Our expectations are set by Shastra. We all come to the movement with our own conditioning. And conditioning means we have our own ideas. The difficulty we have is that many of these ideas that we have about devotional service, they're subconscious. They only come up when something does not align with our expectations. So here, through the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're being given the example. Don't take it seriously. In fact, the mood of a devotee is that whenever one is criticized, one feels there is a good reason for this. This is Krishna's mercy upon me. Even if the criticism is factually incorrect, we should be able to use it to propel us forward. Therefore, the greatest victory of a devotee is that throughout your decades of practice in bhakti, the greatest victory is that you complete this process with a soft heart. You understand? That's what you're looking for. And therefore, this art of forgiveness is so extraordinarily important, because bhakti takes place with the instrument of the heart. If the heart is held down by anger, grudges, bitterness, resentment, then that heart does not become the correct instrument to engage in this Krishna bhakti. So forgiveness is a must, and it's not something that comes naturally in Kali Yuga. Therefore, forgiveness must be practiced. We can practice every day. How do we practice? The way to practice forgiveness is to see with compassion. See, there's an implicit and very, very damaging training that we all get by being part of this material world. In this material world, we're conditioned all the time to take things on face value, superficially. Whether you go onto social media or in other situations, we're being conditioned implicitly to look, just take things on the surface. And therefore, what tends to happen is when we are in difficult situations, we also read it on that same superficial way. But if you want to have a heart which is joyful, kind, loving, compassionate, we have to learn to see behind the negativity. We have to understand that the very individual who may be critical, offensive, or fault-finding, that actually it's a reflection on them. You understand? No one who is deeply joyful, no one who is experiencing very, very deep spiritual absorption in Krishna consciousness, no one who's constantly experiencing Krishna's loving exchange, people like that, devotees like that, they don't go around fault-finding. They feel such, there's such an abundance of joy in their lives, and there's such a feeling of how Krishna continues to come through for them, that actually, because they're so joyful, they don't take these things seriously. You see? We take it seriously, but if we take it seriously, it means that we're not in that state of deep joy. You see? Wherever you leave a vacuum, wherever we leave a vacuum in the heart, that's where Maya will come in. Right? So this vision of forgiveness is a vision of deep compassion. Oh, this person is being rude and harsh and negative. Okay. This means that this person, behind the scenes, they're suffering. They're suffering. That rudeness, that harshness, it means, and this is being spoken about here, right? Lord Chaitanya talks him about the heart. The heart of a brahmana is by nature very clean, therefore it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. Then he says, 275, why have you allowed the chandala of jealousy to sit here also? That means, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Amoga, he's pointing out, you've allowed yourself to be polluted by the lower modes. You see? There's value. Value in the mode of goodness is appreciation. You have something, I value it, so I'm going to appreciate you. Value in the mode of passion is jealousy. You have something, I want to have more than you do. Jealousy. Value in the mode of ignorance is envy. You have something,
I don't want you to have that. I want to have what you have. I want to take it from you. Envy. They're all the same principle, but they are experienced in different modes. So we should understand that the very person who's rude, harsh, critical, it's actually a cry for help. It's a cry for help that's so deep inside the person that they're not even conscious of it. Because we see superficially, we think that that's because they're very strong and demanding. No, it's because they're very weak and insecure. And with that, a deep perception, right? Seeing behind the surface, then it will invoke genuine compassion. It won't be an act. It won't be a performance. It won't be, oh, scripture says. And it also means, actually, in the mode of goodness, we also recognize how we truly feel, right? Suppressing feelings is symptomatic of ignorance. And when you suppress it, eventually it just blows up later on. So acknowledgement, but not lashing out. Okay, I'm hurt. Okay, it's honest. But now let me work with that to let it go, to move beyond that. Okay? So one has to be very, very real in order to understand and to interact properly. But the mood has to be practiced. Yeah? We have to learn to have a compassionate mood. If we lack forgiveness, it means we lack compassion, actually. If we lack forgiveness, it also means we lack humility. If someone is very humble, it's easy to forgive. Now, to be very clear, though, that doesn't mean that we have to associate with people who are critical. I should be very clear about that. There's a lot of misconceptions about forgiveness. So one may forgive someone, but one may also recognize, okay, that shouldn't have been done. And I forgive, but I also understand that maybe this association isn't so mutually nourishing. One may recognize, oh, okay, they should be forgiven, but, you know, this isn't helping me to fulfill the instructions of my spiritual master. There may be more favorable association, but forgiveness must be there. One has to forgive. Otherwise, I was at this festival of inspiration decades ago in New Vrindavan. And there was a seminar on forgiveness, and there was a quote, I think it's from Prabhupada. It was an incredible quote. I'd never seen that quote before, but it really stood out to me. And it said that the material world is full of embarrassing and irritating situations. Unless one is inclined to be very much forgiving, one's consciousness will be soiled with a vindictive mentality that ruins one's spiritual consciousness. Very, very interesting. One's consciousness will be soiled with a vindictive mentality. Jashishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Yeah, so that vindictive mentality, it ruins one's spiritual consciousness. So we practice forgiveness. In this purport, well, let's go back first of all. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says something that seems paradoxical. He says, therefore, Amoga, get up and chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha Mantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. It's not contradictory. But the point is that this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is actually Krishna's association. The mantra is directly the time that you spend with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we know that we're shaped by our association. That is why it's so important. But even that spending time with someone is how much you're attentive to that person. I think Sachinanda Maharaj has the saying that attention is the seed of love. Attention is the seed of love. So we're trying to be more attentive in our association with the holy name, with the deity, in fact, with all aspects of devotional service. Excuse me. And by that attention, as is said here, the phal, the result, or the fruit is Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. But what's also interesting is in the previous verse, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. So the question comes up, what is more important, Sadhu Sangha or Maha Mantra? Okay, what is more important? Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. We hear that the Lord has descended in the age of Kali in the form of his holy name.
And then we also hear Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Lava Matra, even a moment's association with a sadhu can give all perfection. Actually, the association of the sadhus is the most important. The reason for that, it is the sadhus who give us the holy name. And it is the sadhus who help us to unpack the gift and to learn to practice to chant the holy name properly. So it is the gift of the sadhus. That's why it says in this previous verse, when a person's heart is cleansed, that was a contradiction. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, he is able to chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. So that's in the previous verse. Then here it's saying, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get Krishna's mercy. Right? So do you have to be pure to chant? Or do you chant to become pure? Interesting dilemma, right? So both things are true. What it means is that you get some special mercy. There's some Sukriti. Anyone that you see come to this movement, anyone, they're extremely special. Even the people who come to visit, if they come to this temple once in this lifetime, once, if they just see the deities once, they're all extremely special. Right? It's an extremely rare gift. What's being given by Srila Prabhupada. So they have something from a previous life or from this life, which is why they even get to hear about Krishna, the Vaishnava teaching. They're all extremely special. So that's Sukriti. Shatavida bhajante mam gyana sukritino arjun. These four people who come to Krishna, sukritino. Right? Because they have Sukriti, whatever they're looking for, they turn to Krishna for it. So Jiva Goswami says that the four types of people who come to Krishna represent the four varnas. Right? Some come out of distress, some come out of desire for economic development, won't mention who, okay. Some come because they're curious, some come out of knowledge, but all of them are Sukritino. And there's a contrast because Krishna also mentions there are four types of people who don't come. Why? He says Duskritino. Namam Duskritino Mudha. Prapadyante Naradama, Maya Pritigyana Surin Bhavamashritaha. Four types of people, Maya Pritigyana. The Maya Pritigyana is actually the Brahmanas, but the Brahmanas who are in ignorance, who do not have a proper understanding. And that makes them extremely dangerous because they give the wrong philosophy. And everything that people do is based upon the philosophy. We were giving a class to some devotees in America, I think it was a couple of weekends ago. And something came up about atheistic philosophy. And oftentimes people think, yeah, it's just harmless. You know, people have different beliefs. It's not harmless. It leads to certain outcomes. If you truly believe that this, your whole life is an accident, and everyone else's life is also an accident, then it does lean one into the tendency of becoming selfish. If it's only one life, and everything is an accident, and no one's going to be held responsible for anything that they've done, right? Then why would people not just want to stab each other in the back, trample upon each other in order to get their so-called sense gratification? So there's no such thing as a neutral philosophy, right? Sambandha, the philosophy someone has leads to abhideya, which is a way of acting. And the abhideya, or the way of acting someone has, leads to prayojana. It leads to a certain outcome. And this is why this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is so important, because it corrects the misunderstanding of modern society, and it's beneficial, therefore, not just for the devotees, it stops the entire material world becoming a hellish place. Right? So now we have this advent of AI, and it's a perfect example. Because our material society is so money-oriented, therefore, there's a race to what they call artificial general intelligence, and with no consideration of the effect it will have on people's minds, livelihood, anything, doesn't matter. As long as we make money, that's all that counts. Right? So all of this atheistic mentality, all of this, it turns the material world into a hellish place. Even when people have the idea that life is all about enjoyment, then what does Krishna say? In the Bhagavad Gita, Varnashankara, he says it will lead to Varnashankara, unwanted progeny. And what happens if a person is unwanted? They have the samskaras from a very young age that I'm not good enough. I was not wanted, right? And they spend their whole life trying to work through that samskara, which is very, very deep in their consciousness. So it affects
the nature of the living entities who take birth in the material world. And if they're of a low caliber, their mentality then plays out, and it makes the world much harder to live in for those who are materialist, but it also makes the world much harder to live in for those who are spiritual as well. So nothing is neutral. In this purport, the absolute truth is realized in three phases. So you know this famous verse, Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, Iti Shabdyate. So these three aspects of the absolute truth, Brahman actually relates to the Sat potency of the Lord. So the Lord's potency of eternality. So when someone has realized Brahman, what they're realizing is particularly that feature of the supreme absolute truth. If someone has Paramatma realization, they're realizing the Sat potency and the Chit potency, right? So the potency of eternality and the potency of knowledge, right? So the guide, the Paramatma, the super soul in the heart. And if someone realizes Bhagavan, only if someone realizes Bhagavan, then all three elements are realized. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Why? Because bliss means relationship. Bliss only comes by loving exchange. Without loving exchange, there's no joy, there's no Ananda. So these three levels are important. And Prabhupada says, whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahmana. So this is also interesting. Scripture uses the same word in different ways. So when Prabhupada says he is, whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahmana, there's a verse, Brahma Janati Brahmana, right? Brahma Janati Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who understands Brahman. So every devotee is a Brahmana in that sense, because they understand the supreme Brahman who is Krishna. But that's different to having the nature of a Brahmana. You see, even this word, Shudra, it has different meanings. There's some conversations, I think it's 1976. Prabhupada is talking about this term Shudra, but he explains it in different ways. He says if someone works for someone else, right, they are under the employ of another person, so they're economically dependent, then from the economic standpoint, it's Shudra, because they're economically dependent on someone else to employ them. So that's Shudra from the economic standpoint. In another conversation, it's also 1976, Prabhupada says, if the parents did not do Garbhadham Samskar, right? If the parents did not do Garbhadham Samskar when they had that child, then the child is a Shudra. So Shudra in this sense is from the point of view of procreation. Those two are different to Shudra, meaning the nature of a Shudra, the Varna of a Shudra, you see? So the same word has different meaning in different contexts. So here, Brahmana means, as Prabhupada says, saying, whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahmana. Okay, and then when a Brahmana engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is called a Vaishnava. Okay, let's read a little bit more. When one attains that stage, he is called a Bhagavata or Vaishnava. This indicates that he is free from contamination and material attachment. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita. Yesham twanta gata papam jananam punyakamanam te dwanda mohane mukta bhajante mam drita vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the duality of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. This drita vrata is very, very important. It's not just engaging in service, it's determined service, right? The idea is to become Krishna conscious by any means necessary. Right? That's the idea, this drita vrata. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, a Brahmana may be a very learned scholar, but this does not mean that he is free from material contamination. A Brahmana's contamination, however, is in the mode of goodness. Something on that. So the difficulty or the problem with the material mode of goodness is that it's not good enough. Okay, the person in the material world who's in the mode of goodness, that person, that material mode of goodness is still has other modes in it. Okay, there's two contaminations in the mode of goodness, in the material mode of goodness. The first contamination is the contamination that comes from ignorance. Someone's in the mode of goodness, but they still think that they are the body. So there's ignorance in the material mode of goodness. Okay, the other thing is someone in the material mode of goodness, they still think that they are the enjoyer. Therefore, there's passion in the material mode of goodness. So the mode of goodness is not good enough. It has to be free of these two things. Free, completely free of the bodily concept of life. And it has to be free of this conception that I'm the enjoyer. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. It has to be free, which means only a devotee can come to the transcendental platform, Shuddhasattva or Vishuddhasattva. Because only the devotee can understand that actually I've got absolutely nothing to do with this material body. The material body is the sadaka sharira. Sadaka sharira means it's the vehicle for service. So there's two extremes. One extreme is I'm not the body, I neglect it. You actually can get away with that, but you can only get away with that if you're on the level of Prabhupada. This point is made by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says, unless you're a Paramahamsa, unless, right, then one has to have good care for the body, good stimulation for the mind, good social situation, and good study of Shastra to see how all they all fit together. If you're a Paramahamsa, you can do anything you like, because whatever's happening to your body, you're so, not philosophically realized, you're transcendentally realized. It's not going to affect your consciousness. It genuinely won't. But no one can imitate that. You see, it's all about adhikar. So if someone is on that level, they can just neglect their body. So one extreme is to neglect. The other extreme is to strengthen the material bodily identification. I was with my father yesterday. And so I was just watching my father. And you know, the body's old. And I remember he told me, this is a few weeks ago, he said to me, he said, old age is not good. That's what he told me. He said, old age is not good. And I remember thinking, yeah, Prabhupada, he made this statement when he was in his final days. He said, do not think that this won't happen to you. He stated that. Do not think that this will not happen to you. So we're in a race against time. Okay? But we don't want to neglect the body because it's a vehicle for service. We don't want to strengthen the bodily identity. Why? Because if you strengthen the bodily identity, you strengthen all the suffering that comes along with the body. You see this sometimes. People want to very much identify with their gender. It's a trap. Yes, you do have a certain gender, and there's a certain conditioning that comes with that. Okay. But still, we engage that, but we understand we're not that. Okay. People have a certain race, a certain ethnicity. Again, yes, it's a reality. It's part of the sadhaka sharira. We're going to engage that, but we do not make the mistake of identifying with it. Okay. I'm going to jump ahead to read you something on this, because this is actually, is interesting. Let's see. I'll read this point. Prabhupada is speaking. He says, many so-called brahmanas attempt to fight us, saying, how can you create a brahmana out of a European or American? A brahmana can be born only in a brahmana family. They do not consider that this is never stated in any revealed scripture. There was a pastime, Prabhupada's disciples were in India, and they went to visit the particular temple, and I think it was a pujari, the priest there said to them, they were Western devotees, Western body devotees, and the priest told them, he said, if you do your devotional service very nicely, in your next life, you'll be able to take birth in India and engage in devotional service. They told Prabhupada. Prabhupada told them, he said, go back and tell that priest that if he does his deity worship very nicely, if he's really lucky, in his next life he can take birth as a Westerner and join the Hare Krishna movement. Very special. Prabhupada had a transcendental pride, actually. It's very powerful. It was very pure. But he had a transcendental pride. There was a dream that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj had. And in the dream, he saw Prabhupada giving a report to the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada was explaining to the previous acharyas, he said, these people, they're not very clean, not very intelligent. They can't do this, they can't do that. Prabhupada said, but the one good thing is that somehow or other, they've taken shelter at my lotus feet. That's what Tamal Krishna Maharaj saw in the dream. And so when he awoke, I think he was in hospital, and he told Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, this is the dream that I had, this is what I saw. Prabhupada said, that is actually a fact. But it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. This acharya, just like here, Lord Chaitanya is telling Amogha, due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all your contamination is vanquished, is now vanquished. Similar effect happens when we associate with the devotees, especially pure devotees, with a sincere and receptive mood of service. Yeah? By their association, one can literally burn off many, many, many lifetimes of impurities and obstacles. So we need each other. Yeah? This Krishna consciousness is a family affair. Hare Krishna. See, this Krishna consciousness is a family affair. So we have to be what? We have to be humble and tolerant. Yeah, this is a point. We have to be humble and tolerant. Why? Kirtaniya Sadahari. In exactly the same way that Lord Chaitanya is speaking here, by the humility and the tolerance which will be tested, we get to the point where we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. In other words, the smaller we become, the bigger Krishna becomes in our lives. That's how the process actually works. So it's a practice. Hearing, chanting, reading, but not just reading, hearing, and chanting. The mood is important. I come in the mood of a servant. I come in the mood of a servant. Lord Nityananda, you know, there's sometimes it's explained that when he was going to give people the benediction of the holy name, he says, I come with straw between my teeth to simply beg you to chant these holy names of Krishna. It's a very beautiful, touching mood. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Right? Balaram has come in the form of Lord Nityananda. He's begging everyone. Why? Because actually, even though Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill the offenders, Lord Nityananda told him, he said, in Kali Yuga, everyone's like this. So either we deliver them or there's no way of actually making things work. It's very, very interesting. So the question is this. What do you do with a gift when no one is qualified for the gift? You have two options. Option number one, because no one's qualified, no one gets the gift. That's option number one. Option number two is Lord Chaitanya's option. Because no one's qualified for the gift, you may as well just give it to everyone anyway. Right? Let's just forget about qualification. No one's qualified. Just give it to everyone indiscriminately. So it's very, if we understand what we've been given, then you become touched by it. You remember, we're being given an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world to see Krishna face to face. You see, if you look in the material world, you see no one's actually happy. And when I say no one's happy, I mean no one. Sometimes, at best, you see someone doing something and they think they're going to be happy, but you can see that the exact thing that they're doing today is going to be the cause of their suffering tomorrow. You can see it's like on schedule. Just like a Maharaj Chitraketu, he wanted a son. He had so many queens, none of them could give him a son. Right? He gets the blessings of Narada Muni and Gira Muni, but they did tell him, okay, if you want a son, actually, When he asked for the blessing, they thought this is an unintelligent thing to request. Because you have these pure devotees, you can ask for something of eternal value, and instead you ask for something temporary. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. But in order to bring him to his senses, they told him, okay, we'll give you the blessing to have a son. But you should know that this son, Harshashoka, right? This son will be the cause of your happiness and your distress. So, in the material world, happiness and distress are actually two sides of the same coin. If you have happiness, material happiness, the other side is also going to be distress. This seesaw. But the opportunity is to overcome the seesaw, the duality of material existence, by sincerely engaging in devotional service. If we practice devotional service sincerely, we can get completely above that platform. So again, we're in a race against time. Therefore, what we want to do is we want to take our devotional service very seriously. But joyfully seriously. Shushukam kartama vyayam. It's meant to be joyfully performed. So joyful and serious. Okay?
And that will give the inspiration to keep going in Krishna's service. Let's read on a little bit. So Prabhupada writes, okay, a brahmana's contamination, however, is in the mode of goodness. In the material world, the three modes are goodness, passion, and ignorance. And a brahmana that transcends such contamination and approaches a platform of unalloyed devotional service. A brahmana transcends such contamination and approaches the platform of unalloyed devotional service, he cannot be accepted as a Vaishnava. Yeah. So there's always something higher. There's different levels of devotees, and those different levels have different levels of potency. This is explained in some of the writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Depending on the potency of the devotee, they're able to raise non-devotees to a certain level, and they're able to raise practicing devotees also to a certain level. So it's a very, very important point. So the ability to help other people has a lot to do with what we are carrying in ourselves as well. So the more sincere we are, the more we practice, the more realized we are, actually the more profound and potent your devotional service is. I was speaking to one devotee recently who was sharing some very wonderful spiritual experiences that he was having. He's a sincere devotee. And so because he's sincere and he practices, he sees Krishna reciprocates with him a lot. And that's faith, actually. That's faith. It's not just a question of believing something. It's actually a question of putting the teachings into practice. And the more that they're put into practice, the more your faith becomes realization. Yeah. And then when you speak, when you act, you convey subtly and even externally, you convey the depth of your own realization by your interactions with other people. So this is also a key point that needs to be, understood and realized as well. In the Purple, Prabhupada talks about the impersonalists. Prabhupada said, sometimes impersonalists, they'll engage in deity worship. But they have the wrong conception. And Prabhupada gave the point, he said, it's just like you use a ladder to get up. And then once you're on that higher platform, you kick the ladder away. He said, that's how they use guru or the deity. It's like it's a means to an end. And now that I've got my so-called realization, I just kick them aside. But guru is not a means to an end. Guru is actually eternal. It is the supreme personality of servitorship. Right? We practice. What do we practice? The love we have for Krishna, the service we have for Krishna, we practice offering that through the medium of the spiritual master. Yeah. It's not just a concept. It's not just a theory. There has to be someone to serve. Otherwise, we will always think that we are more realized than we actually are. Yeah, I'm selfless. Okay, we'll see about that. Okay, we'll see. How selfless are you? This is what we're trying to actually achieve. We're trying to get out of the center. All the pain, all the suffering of every living entity comes down to this one thing. Aham mamati, I'm the body, right? And this idea that I'm the center. Everything is meant to revolve around me. The more that we have that, the more we're going to conflict with life itself. Why? Because the material energy is distinctly designed to teach us the opposite. You know, so we want to lean into the teaching. Devyesha guna mayi, mama maya duratyaya. Mame vaye prapadyante, mayame tam tarantite. Devyesha guna mayi. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is what? Mama maya duratyaya. Duratyaya means very difficult to overcome. Mame vaye prapadyante. Prapadyante means surrender. But for those who surrender unto me, Krishna says, Mayam etam tarantite. He says they can overcome this material energy easily. Easily. So our hope is to surrender. What happens in the life of devotees is that, and the previous verse that speaks about this. What happens in the life of devotees is that if we act properly, our life experience is very, very different. Let's see, I'll read you this verse. There's a verse that explains what happens when someone acts improperly. Let's see. wanted to find this verse for you. Anyway, there's a particular verse that says, when one makes an offense, immediately karma comes. Immediately one has their karma. If we are practicing devotional service properly, then anything that happens to us is ultimately for our advancement. Okay? If you're practicing sincerely. Is it 268? Let's see. 268. Let's see. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you. When one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. That's verse 268. If we're sincerely serving, you remain under the shelter of the spiritual energy. Therefore, whatever's happening to you, even if it seems challenging, is ultimately for your best ultimate development. If, however, one is not following properly, then what's happening to one can be a karmic reaction or a punishment for that improper behavior. So it's not the case that everyone's life is the same. It's not like that at all. It's like having the umbrella when it's raining. Okay? If your umbrella's open, it is raining. No one's going to tell you it's not raining, but you're not wet. You see? Because you're under the umbrella. The vani, the instructions, the process, that's opening up the umbrella. So you're getting something, but it doesn't affect you. Or if it does, it affects you in the right way. It moves you forward. But if one is not following properly, then the reactions can be a punishment. So our job, you know, sava dhamman paricharya, mame kam sharanam vraja, ham tvam sava pape bhyo, moksha yishami masucha. Our job is to what? Is to abandon all varieties of religion and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that surrender, this word has a negative connotation for most people. For most people, surrender means you were conquered. Right? They overcame you and you were forced to submit. This is different. This surrender, devotional surrender, is like the surrender when you accept the loving embrace of your parents. You accept the loving embrace of someone who genuinely cares about you, who genuinely loves you, who genuinely knows you. They even know the karma that you have. They know what you're going to have to experience in this lifetime, and they're willing, if we let them, they're willing to set up your whole life in such a way that it will actually be the most auspicious path back home, back to Godhead. It's a very, very special gift. So all in all, we want to understand what we've been given. This is a gift of Krishna consciousness. And this is a gift that we want to really take advantage of now and even more in the future. There will come a point on this planet where people will have to be spiritual even just to function well in the material world. You can see it coming. Yeah. Interestingly enough, also, if people, even this AI, if the information is broad enough, and if the AI is not biased, it will come to the same conclusions that you'll see in the Shastra. Because the Shastra describes exactly how Krishna's energy works. Whenever you have enough data, and there's an unbiased analysis of that data, you'll see they come to exactly the same conclusions as the Shastra. We already have it, but we don't appreciate what we have. I was looking up something, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, well, a great personality does, others follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So I was just doing some research. And there's research that says if you're a leader and you're in a position of leadership, whatever you do, it will have an effect upon other people, consciously or unconsciously. They will start to lean into the behavior that you're demonstrating. It's exactly the same principle. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, everyone else is going to pursue that particular standard. So, Adhyatma Vidya, Vidyanam. Krishna says of sciences, I am the supreme science of self-realization. It's all here already. It's all here already. So Prabhupada was in front of the deities, Radha Landanishvara, and he turned to the devotees and he said to them, he said, I've captured Krishna and I'm holding him captive in my heart. He said, now you come and take. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jani Tagore Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Okay, do we have any questions or comments? I saw a hand over there. Do we have a microphone? Pastor, thank you. So forgive me, my voice is a little bit, I've got a bit of a cold coming on, so sorry about that.
Hare Krishna, thank you for an amazing class. I was just wondering, because you said that even if somebody falsely criticizes us, we can still learn from it.
Absolutely.
So I was wondering how we can do that.
Yeah, so we should come to a point where we are able to say thank you to Krishna for everything. So someone praises you, we should think, thank you, Krishna. You know I need the encouragement to carry on practicing devotional service. You've sent someone to praise me. Someone criticizes us, we should think, thank you, Krishna. You know I've got such a big ego that you're helping me to keep my feet on the ground by having someone say this to me so I don't become big-headed. I remember one Prabhupada disciple who gave class many years ago, and he said something very interesting. He actually said in the class, he said, I admit that I've hurt people. He said that in the class. He said, I admit that I've hurt people. He said, but I've been hurt as much, if not more, than those who I've hurt, and I'm still around. And he went on to say, he said, there were other devotees who were also sometimes not behaving ideally, but they weren't corrected. And he said, those devotees who weren't corrected, he said, they're no longer practicing, they're not still around. He said, I'm still around. So this is Krishna. He will send, there's no accidents, he will send something, and it's up to us, it's up to us to have a divine interpretation. Gyan chakshus, shastra chakshus, to see it in a way that's favorable for our devotional service. I was in touch with one devotee recently who I think is basically no longer practicing or on his way to no longer practicing. So he went through a difficulty in his relationship, in a particular relationship, and then he was hurt. And he said that he felt that his, you know, let's say guru wasn't there for him. And I remember thinking, this guru has so many disciples. Is that realistic to expect that this person, when you're going through this, that they're going to be able to give you as much time as you expect? I have to be honest, I don't think it's realistic. You know, I could understand his pain though. I could understand his pain, so we would just empathize with him. But again, it goes back to the point we made earlier, is how we take the situations that come upon us. If we do not practice, taking these challenging situations in a way that makes us more Krishna conscious, we will lose our enthusiasm. And first, your enthusiasm goes down. When the enthusiasm goes down, then your practice goes down. When the practice goes down, the association goes down. And then eventually, you don't even see the person again. We need each other. But this mindset is really important. Whatever happens to me, if we're becoming genuinely transcendental, we learn to say thank you to Krishna for whatever's happening. It really is like that. We want to learn to say thank you, Krishna. Whatever's happening to me, thank you. Because whatever's happening, I can learn from this in a way that helps me to make spiritual light, spiritual advancement. That's what I meant. Does that make some sense? Yeah, thank you for your question. Yes, can you pass the microphone? Please.
There's two points that I can remember. One is a devotee was saying to Prabhupada, I don't know how to struggle or to keep on. He said, everything I do, I seem to make mistakes. You know, and I feel so bad, you know. And then Prabhupada, he said to him, this is the way a devotee should feel. And there's the other one that's in the Mahabharata. Critics take the karma.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Whatever you like, you'll get.
Thank you. Yes. So just on your point, actually people criticize you
and you don't retaliate. That's the caveat. If you're being criticized and you don't retaliate, the pious credit of the person who's criticizing you comes to you. It's in the Mahabharata, and it's also mentioned in other places. So if someone criticizes you and you don't retaliate, their pious credits come to you, and whatever pup, sinful karma you have is transferred to the person who's criticizing you. Yeah, it's not known, but there are verses, as a few verses actually, which speaks to that particular point. So sometimes, as strange as it may sound, it's even Christians like, dude, do you want to get rid of some of that bad karma? Here's an opportunity. It goes back to what we said earlier. We don't see things on the surface. We want to see things much more deeply. Everything, I can tell you honestly, everything that's in the scriptures, because Krishna's not selfish, he's selfless. When he tells you to do something, well, I can absolutely guarantee you, whatever Krishna's telling you to do, it's for your benefit. If he says forgive, it's for your benefit. If he says, you know, serve sincerely, it's for your benefit. If he says sacrifice, it's for your benefit. Whatever Krishna tells you to do, because he's truly selfless, this is a miracle of Krishna consciousness. The devotee puts Krishna in the center. But who do you think Krishna puts in the center? Who do you think? He puts his own devotees in the center. It's just that we're not used to it. We think, I've got to put myself in the center, and if I don't put myself in the center, no one's going to look after me. That's true here. Don't get me wrong, that's a fact here, materially, but not spiritually. You can do an experiment. If you put Krishna in the center sincerely, not foolishly, but you do it in a wise way, you couldn't even begin to imagine how Krishna will look after you. Right? Not just like a deep sense of abundant joy, but even he'll arrange situations, he'll let you know, look, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm arranging this, and you see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada. It's absolutely phenomenal. And if you want faith, that's how you get faith. You get faith by sincerely surrendering and seeing. When I tried to surrender to Krishna wisely, not in the mode of ignorance, because then you'll blame Krishna, but it's not his fault because we're not doing it properly. If you do it wisely, he always gives you more than you're doing. It's a fact. You see, Prabhupada came to the West with nothing. They told him, Prabhupada, don't go, you'll die. They actually told him that. And he had two heart attacks on the way here, on the way to the Western world. But look what Krishna gave him, everything. And actually, this is a really important point. He already had everything when he came because he was already fully Krishna conscious. What is the use of having so many things if you're miserable? You see, this is how insane the material world is. You will see this. You'll see so many people with so many things, and if you actually look at their consciousness, they're miserable. We don't see things properly because of the modes. I remember working one time in one company, and there was one person in the company, she said, I'd love to be famous. And I was thinking, that's absolutely crazy. Why would you want to be famous? If you hear about famous people, after a certain point, they can't go out in public. If they go out in public, people are after them. Sometimes the people try to extort them, right? We want to kidnap your son. I worked for one particular company. I found out that the head of the company, multimillionaire, he was being stalked. Yeah, we were actually speaking to someone in risks and compliance. He was being stalked, you know? And even I heard him say this year, he said, you know, he has to be careful what he says, otherwise he receives death threats. What kind of life is that? It's absolutely crazy. So because of our attachment, we don't see things clearly. Oh, it'd be great if I was famous. Really? You sure? Do you know what it's like to have people watching you all the time? And whatever you do, someone's going to criticize you. You know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? We don't see it clearly because of our attachment. When you're able to step back, you can see it's all about Krishna. Right? There's only one game in town. The only game in town is this Krishna consciousness. Nothing else. Whatever's going on, whether it's social media or other things, not that you shouldn't, you know, preach on social media or use whatever means are there, but you should understand, if you're Krishna conscious, you already have it. If you're able to walk in this world amongst the living entities on this planet and your heart is overflowing with joy and devotion and bliss because you're genuinely Krishna conscious, you've already achieved everything. You see? And if you don't have that, but you have so many material facilities, what's the value? Prabhupada quotes Chanakya, if one gives up the eternal for the temporary, right, he loses both. Right? He says, if you give up the temporary for the eternal, there's no loss, because the temporary was going to leave you anyway. And you've given up the temporary for the eternal, so there's no loss. That's Krishna consciousness. But if one gives up the eternal for the temporary, you lose both. You've given up that which is eternal, and you've given it up to hold on to the temporary, but because it's temporary, it's going to leave you anyway. You know? So these teachings are a plea for us to come to our senses, and it's easier said than done, because we have lifetimes upon lifetimes of material condition. But Krishna knows that. Krishna knows we're not pure. But Lord Chaitanya, what does he do? Even though he knows we're not pure, because he's got the mercy, he's Radha-bhava duty savalitan. Radha-bhava, because he has the mood of Srimati Radharani, if we just do what we can, okay? Sincerely, every day, just do what you can, do as much as you can, sincerely, in a way that you can sustain it, you will find that at the end of this life, antikale chamameva, smaram mutva kalevaram, yaprati samadbhavam, right? You'll find antikale, at the end of this life, you will be able to go back to the spiritual world. You'll never have anything again, any issues again. No more colds. I'm looking forward to that myself. Right? No more having to take ginger tea, right, to sort it out. Nothing. It's important to just meditate on what's being offered. Right? Because we all have otherwise this adi-atma, adi-bodhika, adi-daivika klesha. Suffering from other living entities, suffering from our own mind and body, right? Suffering from the world, right? When it's raining, or it's cold. But this is all unnatural. It's all completely unnatural. This is not, we're not meant to be like this. We're meant to be fully happy, blissful, joyful, realized. We're meant to be able to see Krishna on the altar. When I came to Krishna consciousness, soon after that, I took a friend. I brought a friend to the temple, London, ISKCON London Temple. He knows this. He's not here, but he knows he is. So we went to the Sunday feast. And so a very advanced devotee gave the class, Sunday feast lecture. So after the class, there was a Q&A. So my friend asked this devotee, female body, what's on the altar? And she said, Krishna's on the altar, blah, blah, blah. And he said, so what does he do on the altar? And she was able to describe to him how Krishna dances. I was there. I heard it with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes. She explained to my friend how Krishna dances on the altar. And he signed up. Like that. So, yeah. Anyway, any last question or comment before we close? Maybe one last question, if you could pass the mic, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for such a wonderful class. It's just connected to Subhadra's point from before. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we're criticized, and perhaps the person in front of us has good intentions, but yes, we are misunderstood.
Yes.
And maybe as we come into Krishna consciousness, we understand that Krishna understands us, so we don't need to be understood as such.
I wouldn't go that far. I'll tell you why I say that. Jnanivas, I remember having a conversation. I can't remember if it was Jnanivas or Pankajangri. We were outside the ISKCON London Temple, and I asked him a question related to this. And he said, for your close friends, they should understand you. Yeah? So, do you understand? If it's a close friend and they still don't get you, there's something impersonal about that. You know, so, but we have to sometimes do our part. Say, look, let me just explain. Right? I know it looks like this, but let me try and make sure that you understand why things are the way that they are. So sometimes a person is genuinely sincere, but they don't understand. And sometimes they're receptive to understanding if we explain the situation to them. Sometimes they don't understand, and we explain it to them, they won't understand now. But if they become more purified later on, they'll come back. I had a friend like that. He was criticized by someone, but years later on, the person came back to him and said, you know what, I shouldn't have spoken to you that way, I'm really, really sorry. But it's because they got purified and they realized later on that I shouldn't have dealt with that person that particular way. Anyway, please, you wanted to finish what you're saying.
The question was just that, is it correct to have a desire to be understood?
It's natural.
Which you explained.
It's natural. Okay. It's natural to expect, it's natural to want to be understood by those we are striving to be close to. It's natural.
I was trying to connect it to your other point where you mentioned that, you know, we also want to be the center of attention. So yeah,
that's not the same thing.
Is that?
Okay. No. Just because you want to be understood, it doesn't mean that you're trying to take God's position. There are some things which are just natural to being a living entity. Right? We have feelings. There's a wonderful purport by Prabhupada. He talks about this. You can't suppress the finer sentiments. If you try to suppress them, there's a purport. It's in the purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam. I can find it for you if you want. And he actually explains like that. So you can't suppress those things. It's natural for the living entity to want to be understood and to be in relationship. It should be Krishna-centered. And we should also have a certain detachment, because even if we want to, not everyone will understand us. Prabhupada was criticized by his own god brothers. And some of them were exalted devotees. There's a pastime with Prabhupada where one of his god brothers, who Prabhupada was criticizing, when that person passed away, Prabhupada said he went back home, back to God, and everyone was shocked. They said, Prabhupada, you always criticized him. You didn't like him. He said, just because I didn't like him doesn't mean my Guru Maharaj didn't like him. Yeah, you can find that. We're people, right? Snigdha Swajatiya. We're looking for association which is affectionate, like-minded, you know? So we love and respect everyone, but you can't be close to everyone. The idea that you can be close to all the devotees, there are millions of people who accept Bhagavad Gita as their truth. You can't be close to everyone, but we can cultivate relationships, we can love everyone, respect everyone who's coming to Krishna consciousness, but there'll be some people you'll have a natural affinity for, and that's completely natural. Yeah. Again, it's the expectation that it should be according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. Otherwise, we'll be disappointed. Does that answer your question? Okay, so thank you very much. We will stop here. Nice jumper. We'll stop here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.